The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Non-stop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right, end zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Non-stop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right, end zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
Hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. Make sure you give us a follow, Instagram and Twitter. Do that right now, at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We'll give you a bunch of exclusive content right on Instagram and Twitter. So the quarterbacks are always a big topic of conversation. Hickey, I don't think I'm forgetting anybody here, but when it's shaping up to be this offseason, there's going to be many dominoes to fall. Is Tom Brady going to be back in Tampa Bay? Is he going to be back in the NFL next year? I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to get traded, but until we get an answer on that, there is a possibility of that. And then you get to some other guys. Like Derek Carr, we know that's made clear a few weeks ago, was made clear today, that he's going to get traded or he's going to get released. Is Derek Carr, to me, someone that you win a Super Bowl with? No. But if you have a need for a quarterback on a short-term deal, Derek Carr could be attractive because he could get you the playoffs. He's a solid quarterback. I don't think he's great. I don't think he's bad. I wouldn't say he's average. But he is someone that at times looks like he could be a top 10 quarterback. But anytime you're about to say Derek Carr is a top 10 quarterback, even if he shows it for 3-4 games, he will eventually take 3 or 4 steps back. And he's more like a 13th, 14th, 15th type of quarterback in the NFL. And another name that will be in the fold and in the mix is Jimmy Garoppolo. Other than those four names, Hickey, and you could open up the draft, but staying out of the draft for now, I think those are the four names right now that we know of that have a possibility of being made available this offseason that makes you intrigue. Like Ryan Tannehill becoming available, that's not going to really move the needle for too many people. Could there always be something that pops up out of nowhere? Potentially. And you know what? I guess we also have to throw into the hopper Lamar Jackson. We just talked about it last hour. Lamar Jackson, I think in the Ravens' mind, they would want to franchise tag him another year. But now back-to-back years of injuries, and the Ravens' season probably coming to an end this weekend, the last 2 years, Lamar Jackson not available at the end of the year. Do you just try to go get as many draft picks as you can now? How many first-round draft picks it would be now this offseason if you don't want to give him a long-term deal for whatever those reasons are? So outside of Brady, Carr, Jimmy G, Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, I don't know of a quarterback right now that's going to be available that moves the needle for you. Now, could something pop up? Something could always pop up and surprise you. But you start to look to destinations of teams that need quarterbacks. And Hickey, I do think the Dolphins are in that conversation. Now, I know that you've been a part of that Tuanon. And I've been someone that, even though I was a huge believer of Tua Tagovailoa when he was in college, with all the injuries that were piling up even before this year, and with some of the changes in coaching, and when Flores was there, Flores didn't really rock with him. That was the one mistake Flores made when he had 3 or 4 offensive coordinators. Mike McDaniel gets in there. I've always have been someone that's been hesitant on Mike McDaniel, but McDaniel embraced him right away, showed him love that he did not get from Brian Flores. Now, Tua had a good year this year when he was on the field. But that's the biggest problem. Is there's one thing when you have a back injury and you got to miss some time. But when you start to have multiple concussions, that changes the entire thing. And we've seen this guy, hip dislocation, back injury. There's been a lot of injuries with Tua, but the most serious is when you get hit up here and when you suffer concussions. And Tua could be one hit away. I don't know, everyone's one hit away from maybe their career being over, but he could really be one more bad landing, like not even a hit, a bad landing away from not playing football again, where people in his family say, it's not safe for you to play anymore. Or he makes the realization, or doctors won't clear him from concussion protocol. Like, eventually he got cleared from concussion protocol, but he's got to have some serious talks this offseason. So it's a shame that the Dolphins season's going to end with Tua not on the field, but it'd be malpractice if they put him back on the field. And I don't know about you, Hickey. It still always rubs me the wrong way with what happened in that game up against Buffalo the first time those two teams played. Because I know the NFL and the Dolphins say that's a back injury, and I don't know how he got cleared to play in that game and return to that game. That looked like a concussion to me. And then a few days later, remember, they're on Thursday Night Football against the Bengals, and he gets knocked out of the game, and that was scary. But they say documented the first concussion was up against, you know, this year was up against Cincinnati, and then, you know, he suffered a concussion at some point in that game up against the Packers, but they couldn't spot it, and he hasn't played since. It kind of stinks that you have to say this about Tua, but you can't count on Tua. And you can't rely long-term on Tua. Doesn't take away that he had a good season, but when you talk about the serious nature of multiple concussions, he gets one more, he may not be able to play again. So if you're doing what's in the best interest of the 53-man roster this offseason, I'm not saying you definitely have to go get a quarterback this offseason, but if the right name becomes available, you can't leave it up to, okay, we really like Tua, we really believe in Tua, who I don't know what the ceiling is for Tua. Like, I still don't know if Tua is going to be a great quarterback in the league. I don't know if you could win a Super Bowl with Tua Tagovailoa. So with that still being uncertain, even though we had a good season, if the right name becomes available, you have to seriously consider it, even though you may not want to replace him, because once again, you don't know when he's going to be able to play again. And even if he is cleared, and you'd imagine at some point he gets cleared this offseason, one more concussion, especially with how much attention has been on this case, because there's multiple times, and I'm sure there's multiple instances in the NFL, where players play when they shouldn't play. But with how well documented the Tua situation is, and how much publicity it got, it highlights it more, where if this guy gets another concussion, you're going to have people saying this guy should never play football again. People may say it right now. So, Hickey, I do believe they got to explore. That's the way I'll say it. Explore looking for a quarterback this offseason. You don't have to rush to go get someone, but if the right name becomes available, you can't be apprehensive on pulling the trigger on this.
You know me. I've been a defender of Tua.
You have been.
With that said, it's malpractice for the Dolphins mm-hmm. sit there and say, he is our quarterback for 2023. And even if you run Teddy Bridgewater back and you believe Teddy Bridgewater is an adequate backup, I'm sorry, you cannot bank on Tua being your guy next year. Because if you look at it, if you just...
And you can't bank on Teddy Bridgewater.
No, exactly right.
If you have hopes and dreams of going deep into the playoffs, Teddy Bridgewater is a great guy. He's good in a small dose of the NFL. He's not starting 17 games or 10-plus games more in the league and taking the playoffs.
Now, you could try and maybe you swing a mess on Tom Brady, and Aaron Rodgers doesn't go anywhere or retires, and Derek Carr is traded somewhere else. And like, just there are situations where you don't upgrade. You're not going to get Ryan Tannehill back. So if you try but swing a miss, I get it. That's one thing.
You know who actually would be good?
To feel comfortable is another thing and just not run it back or run it back.
You know who would be good for them? Because I think you got to find that balance of having someone that could be a capable starter, but maybe not someone, unless it's a home run, that's definitely going to replace Tua right away. For example, if Brady wants to go there, which he did last offseason, how much of that was tied to maybe him getting some ownership of the team, the Sean Payton stuff? Would the NFL, in a weird way, even allow it now because of all the punishments that did go on? Like, I don't know the answer to that. You look at that roster, though. You got Tyreek Hill, you got Jaylen Waddle. It's attractive for quarterbacks. But if Brady doesn't want to go there, if Rodgers doesn't get traded there, let me ask you this before I get to the name that I'll throw out there. Like, if you are The Dolphins, are you making a move for Derek Carr, who we don't look at as this great quarterback, but you could make the case as an upgrade over Tua?
Obviously more durable. I would investigate it. He would not be my number one.
But that's not your long-term answer, too. Derek Carr. Like, I don't think you bring in Derek Carr if you're the Dolphins and it's a long-term answer type of move, which makes me say, like, do you pass on a guy like Derek Carr?
Well, it's tough because a long-term move, for the most part, you would deem to be a guy in the draft.
Yes, and also, let me be clear. I don't think Brady or Rodgers be a long-term, but there's a chance you win a Super Bowl with Brady or Rodgers. Not a chance you win a Super Bowl with Derek Carr.
The only thing is, if you go in the draft, this is a roster that's ready to win now. I don't know if they're ready to go through some rookie bumps along the way that you'd encounter with a young rookie quarterback.
And also, they don't have the pick to do that.
Right.
Because one is forfeited and the other one got traded away to the Broncos in return for Bradley Chubb. So the draft is kind of out of the realm of possibility. Now, what about Jimmy G? McDaniel, familiarity, but do you look at Jimmy G as a long-term guy? I don't.
That's another guy to one hit away. Him and two. Like, that's, you're going from one fragile quarterback to another.
And here's what I'm saying. If you bring in Jimmy G and Carr, they're your starter week one. Like, those guys would be your starter week one over Tua Tagovailoa. So that's why I think Carr and Jimmy G will have enough destinations out there where, even though Miami's a good destination, they won't consider it, because I do think the Dolphins, as long as he's cleared, are going to give Tua every chance to be the starting quarterback. You know, if you bring in Brady Rodgers, clearly that's not the case. There's no argument for Tua to start over those two guys. So here's the name. And I don't think he's going to be starting from day one in the NFL next year. Wouldn't a guy like Baker Mayfield, which is a low risk, I don't want to say high reward, but medium size reward, wouldn't that be attractive for the Dolphins, where Baker probably won't have many, if any at all, chances to start week one next year? So you have Baker, and I think it would be attractive for Baker, where Baker would go in, and if I get on the field, I have all these weapons around me, and there's a good chance that I'll get on the field with, whether it's concussion or just other injuries, that Tua does likely suffer, unfortunately. I don't think, for Baker, I think it would be very attractive for Baker Mayfield, because there's a good chance he'd get on the field.
I guess the only question, I like that thought a lot. I guess my only question would be, would he be okay with being a backup from day, like starting day one? Like you said, the odds are he's going to play.
Where is he going that he's going to start day one? That the team says, we'll put up with the headache that could potentially be Baker Mayfield, where he's not a long-term answer, where he starts day one?
I don't think anywhere. But I think there's plenty of teams that he could go to in a competition similar to Carolina and maybe beat out a guy. Like, if you're the Commanders, do you bring in Baker Mayfield? And I don't know, like, if Jimmy G goes elsewhere and Derek Carr goes elsewhere, do you go Derek Carr, or do you go Baker Mayfield and a draft pick? Do you go Baker Mayfield and something? Like, I could see a competition going somewhere, you know, he goes somewhere where he could start. Mm-hmm. But, like, if he goes to Miami, I think you said it, with Tua, like, if Tua is there next year, assuming he is, Tua is still a starter. Like, Baker's not coming in and winning the job. But like I said, I just don't know if he'd be okay at the backup role in the interim until, unfortunately, it seems like inevitably, Tua gets hurt.
I think what Baker needs to realize is you got to go to a place where it gives you the best chance to get on the field next, because you're not going to be guaranteed to be getting on the field right away in the QB1 role. If you're expecting, and I'm not saying he shouldn't expect to be a starter, that's what makes Baker so great, but at this point, if Baker thinks he's without a doubt going to be long-term a number one starter anywhere and be given that chance right away from week one, I think he's crazy. The Dolphins, to me, they have uncertainty at the quarterback position in terms of how good can Tua be. They also have uncertainty with his health. I think you got to look at a spot where's a likely chance that I'll be guaranteed at least like five starts. And I think Miami, he will be guaranteed five starts, either because, you know, I just think it's because Tua's not going to be able to get through an entire season next year, probably.
We've talked to a lot of veteran quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. What about a guy like Jordan Love from Miami's perspective?
I don't know what Jordan Love is.
Neither do I. But like, I'm saying, do you take the chance? I don't know.
I don't consider Jordan Love a veteran quarterback because the guy's barely
prepared. No, I know. That's my point. I'm saying, we talk about veteran guys that are, you know, stop gaps here and there. Do you go a youngster route and say, you know, bring Jordan Love in? Like you said, it's you play the numbers game. Tua's going to miss bare minimum one game.
I'd rather roll the dice on Trey Lance if maybe Brock Purdy goes on a run of the 49ers elsewhere this offseason.
I would also agree, but I'm saying, would you pursue a younger guy?
No, because I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze there on Jordan Love. I don't think Jordan Love's going to be all that good in the NFL. Now, the Jets, I mean, I know we got to get to Paul Allen, but the Jets are going to make a move for a quarterback this year. We'll talk about some destinations coming up at 8:40 p.m. Eastern. But, like, we'll evaluate how good of a destination is the Jets up against other teams that are going to need quarterbacks like the Commanders, the Raiders, the Buccaneers, maybe the Rams if Stafford walks away, even though he says no. Like, I know the Lions right now say they're going to keep Jared Goff, but is there some quarterbacks out there that want to go to Detroit now? And I guess the same could be said for Seattle and the Giants, where Geno Smith and also Daniel Jones did a really good job, but if you have one of these big names like a Brady or a Rodgers or a Lamar Jackson that are available, do you think about moving on, and how attractive is the job that you have currently at hand right now? It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will go to Minnesota next, where the Vikings this upcoming weekend are going to be welcoming in the New York Football Giants. We will preview Vikings and Giants next with Paul Allen, the radio voice of the Minnesota Vikings.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes. Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team. And postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right. End zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll preview a little Vikings and Giants that comes your way on Sunday in the wild card round. We saw this matchup a few weeks ago when it came right down to the wire. And you had a very long 60-plus yard field goal, game-winning kick by Minnesota. Now joining us is, in my opinion, the most exuberant play-by-play man in the NFL. And I think he's the creme de la creme, the preeminent play-by-play man in the entire National Football League, and that is the play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Vikings and Paul Allen. Paul, appreciate the time. How you been?
Hey, Zach, good to chat with you. And that's really, really nice of you to say. You know, I do. I'm flattered by it. You know, like Greg Papa with the San Francisco 49ers, Wayne Larrivee, Green Bay Packers, Bob Papa, and with Schusen do really good work for the New York team. So it's you know, there are a lot of good play-by-play guys in the National Football League, and I'm honored that you put me in that class.
Yeah, the Paul Allen camera too also does it for me, because I always I hear you freaking out, and I love it. But then to also physically see you, that's pretty damn cool,
right? Yeah, this and specifically in this day and age, you know, it's like, you know, you could be, say, Dan Miller for the Detroit Lions, a dear friend of mine, and, you know, one of the great play-by-play guys in the NFL, but people generally don't get to hear his calls, you know, or see them on TikTok and stuff like that, you know, simply because they just never have made the playoffs. Well, I mean, they got good this year, and, you know, Dan's call at the end of the Lions-Packers game was a work of art. I mean, it was absolutely terrific. But, you know, you put a camera in the booth, and you see somebody with three chins and one eyebrow cross their arms at Buffalo and go, you lucky suckers. And this day and age is going to really, really buy into that, even though I wasn't trying to do it.
Paul Allen here with us. What was a crazier game to call this year, the Bills-Vikings game or the Colts-Vikings game?
Bills-Vikings, because the Josh Allen, the minute the schedule comes out, he's arguably a favorite to win MVP. So I know we got the elbow situation, and he was kind of close to that when we played him, and he threw a bad pick at the end of the game to lose the game. But with all that said, getting Josh Allen to drop the ball at the goal line, and then you got to get a touchdown out of it, that late in the game, a defensive touchdown. I mean, we were a 98% loser. But like in the Colts game, down 33-0 at halftime, okay, so the team, makes NFL history coming back from 33 and beating the Colts. But the first half and halftime, with some of these conversations we were having in the box, just absolutely miserable. I mean, it was as miserable. It was more miserable at that moment than when we got killed by the Cowboys. So then they come charging in the second half. But that really was only a half of exaltation. The Bills game from A to Z is one of the most memorable games of any game I've called in 20-some-odd years.
Paul Allen here with us. So I thought Minnesota was going to make the playoffs before the start of the season. I did not think they were going to win the division, and that was over pretty quickly. But you mentioned some of those blowout losses and only had four of them this year. Like, that does stick out in your mind. Like, how do you view the Vikings going into the postseason? Because they've been a real polarizing team.
It's not like they only had four blowout losses. Now, the Lions game, that thing was sneaky close in the third quarter. So technically, it's double digits. But, at Philadelphia, we start the season with Green Bay at home. And that's the target at which to shoot in the division every year because of the quarterback. But, losing Devontae meant early in the season he had to overcome not having his bailout guy. I mean, forget one of the best in the game. Devontae is one of the greatest bailout third down receivers in the history of the National Football League. So we got him week one and we killed him. So, we're feeling good. Then we go to Philadelphia and Jalen Hurts runs all over us. So that was a blowout there. The Dallas game had some aberration to it, and we go to Green Bay and they got a win, and that's the border rival, man, and they smashed us a couple of weeks ago. So on the other side of it, the fearless gene this team possesses, with the ability when it is close, they are not scared of anybody. They're not scared of Josh Allen. They're not scared of being on the road. They're just not. And if they're in a one-score game in the fourth quarter, I'm telling you right now, every team they face the rest of the way, if they get past this one, if the Vikings are in a one-score game in the fourth quarter, the adversary's in trouble.
Can you see this team winning the Super Bowl this year?
I can't. I'm not gonna grandstand and say that. I will say on my 9 to noon radio show on KFAM, I came back in July, right before training camp from kind of an extended vacation, and I spent time looking at a confluence of circumstances around the NFC, which includes Brady being a year older and skipping time in training camp. Russell left Seattle. The Rams, I thought, were the target of which to shoot. So on Arizona fraudulent and just the whole thing. So I actually, for the second time in my radio career, predicted the Vikings to go to the Super Bowl because of the confluence of circumstances, and we were being shortchanged because it was a redo, but a redo with talent, man. I mean, when you bring in a former quarterback and an offensive mind who's a limb on the Sean McVay tree, well, I've now seen it for 17 games. It not only does it work, it's high end. and that includes with how you treat man when there's conflict. So I've seen that now since the beginning of the season. It's real. And those who hired them and said it would be like this are right. But the reason I did it was because of the perception I had of other teams around the NFC. Now, I dramatically shortchanged Philadelphia, and we've been there, and I've seen it. And, if Hurts is close to 100% and they get two games in that building, they're going to be really difficult to beat. So if the Vikings get to the Super Bowl, I ain't going to be surprised. But if they don't, man, I just got a lot of respect for specifically Philadelphia.
Paul Allen here with us. So I love Justin Jefferson. Not only once he gets drafted, he comes on this radio show and he says, all the teams that took wide receivers in front of me are going to pay. Now, we've heard people say that before, but he has clearly backed it up. Does anything that he does at this point surprise you? Because he is such a fun player to watch.
No, not really. And the thing I really like about Justin, you know, and I chat with him a fair amount during the course of the week, just in passing, locker room, games, practice, whatever, is his humility and how humble he is. Now, Justin had 2 touchdowns against Green Bay week 1, 2 receiving touchdowns. And Justin wants to have 20 receiving touchdowns and 2,000 yards. I mean, that's just how that superstar is wired. For whatever the reason, we went a month and a half, almost 2 months, without him catching a touchdown. Now, I've been around wide receivers long enough in my career to know that if superstars go sometimes close to 2 months without a touchdown catch,
problem.
Hide the
yeah.
women and children
yeah.
because they become divisive. And it just, I've just seen it. Well, that's not him. I mean, he stayed quiet and he supported everybody to the best of his ability. You know, we bring in TJ Hockenson. TJ starts getting some love, but you know what Justin realized, because he's smart, is the more success and love shared with TJ Hockenson means Justin's going to bust loose. And that's exactly what happened, you know, and if we hadn't completely flopped in that Green Bay game, I mean, he had a legitimate shot to break Calvin Johnson's 2012 record for 1964 in a season.
Your view of Kirk Cousins is what, Paul Allen?
He improves every single year. You know, I know for a fact, because whether it's Cousins, Bradford, Case Keenum, Dante Culpepper, Brett Favre, I've seen so many quarterbacks around here, man. You know, I just know what's good. And, you know, it's kind of the problem being next to Brett Favre in 2009 is I truly saw how it was supposed to be done behind the scenes. I mean, indefatigable with the work ethic, late Friday nights trying to figure out the Bears blitz. I mean, and the way he galvanized, man. Yeah, Brett was unbelievable. Well, Kirk is not necessarily as overt that way or as aw shucks as Brett, but Kirk's unbelievably smart. And his seasons have gotten better every year he's been here. And now with O'Connell and the way the offense is constructed, and it's a pass-first team, well, look at the season you just put Justin on. Hockenson comes in here, has the best year of his career. Dalvin Cook all of a sudden, you know, gets home on a screen from 64. K.J. Osborne, the third receiver, has 60 catches. So that answers the question right there. Kirk is calculated. He can make all the throws, left hash, right boundary, vice versa, and he's cold-blooded in the red zone. So I love the guy. He's been through a lot here from the fan base locally and nationally. He's persevered. He's a fabulous human being and a quality quarterback.
When you look at the Giants, and I live in New York, if you would have told me the Giants would be in the playoffs before the season, I would have said, what are you smoking? What are you drinking? So it's an incredible coaching job by Brian Daboll. You saw them a few weeks ago. What stands out to you the most about the Giants?
And, Zach, I'm with you, man. I mean, like, you know, end of the season, I didn't even pay attention to the Giants.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like Daniel Jones more than most, and I respect Saquon, but I was with you. But after they beat Tennessee in that season opener, and then I started to like watching how Daboll talks to people on the sidelines and stuff. Man, I just gained a fast track of respect for them. I mean, a first-year coach like O'Connell, I mean, I think when they get together Sunday, Zach, is going to be the fourth time since the merger in the mid-60s two first-year coaches are meeting in the playoffs. So that just shows you how difficult it is to do what's happening this weekend. But from what I saw, Dexter Lawrence was basically unstoppable. He's elite. When Aaron Donald is done, Dexter's the next Aaron Donald, if he's not already ready there now. And he'll command an immense amount of attention. The rookie Thibodeau didn't have a great game against us. He was okay, you know, but he went against our right tackle, Brian O'Neill, you know, who did a really good job. Well, O'Neill's out, and we got a replacement at right tackle. So I'm curious to see what they're going to do there. And, you know, they blitz 50% of the time, man, which is number one in the NFL. So I think Kirk, O'Connell, and everybody knows that there are going to be some licks. You know, there are going to be, they have more guys than we have. Kirk's going to get hit, maybe even sacked. But if one or two times they miss on those blitzes, we have the right guys to go 70 behind their defense. So, you know, we were winning that game, man, 10-0, and I honestly felt, hey, here it comes. For the first time in forever, we're going to blow somebody out. And then Hodgins got a touchdown on Peterson, and they got back in it, and Gano never misses all of a sudden, and it was a meat grinder. Fortunately, we won. But, nah, man, I'm happy to have this game at home for the Vikings, and the crowd's going to be loud.
What type of game do you expect coming up this weekend?
Excellent question, and it feels like low-key you're trying to feel me out for an over-under bet, which I really respect if you are doing that, or some covert money line deal or whatever. That's a great question. I mean, we're 27-24 last time. There was a good patch in the middle of that game where nobody did anything but field goals. Our defense has given up the fourth most yards in the history of Vikings football, and our offense is one of the best offenses in the NFL. So I think whatever the number is, I think it's good. And I think the final total will be whatever that number is, 48-ish. So I don't know, man, like, you know, a 30-20 on the high end and a 27-24, 27-20 on the low end.
I think Minnesota's going to win the game, but it seems like, just from what I hear, a lot of people going with the Giants. Do they feel that disrespect to Minnesota?
Well, the point spread hasn't moved. So, I mean, people from a rooting interest, and, you know, they can jump out there in the nameless, faceless world on Twitter and, you know, formulate all the opinions they want. But, you know, we've seen big point spread moves with Minnesota Vikings football this year because people formulate giant opinions. This is not one. I mean, it started at 3. It stuck at 3. And it should be Vikings -3. So, you know, the team has faced the fraudulent tag the entire year. And people have been wrong every step of the way if they got loud about it. It's like we beat Green Bay, and then we get killed on Monday Night Football at Philly. Well, funny, you know, Philly might be the best team in football with Hurts. And secondly, you know, people are like, see, I told you they just weren't that good, new coach, and, you know, Cousins can't handle the heat and just all that stuff. Well, after that Philly game, we won 7 in a row. So then we get killed by Dallas, same thing. People bitching about the same thing. Well, then we win 4 of the next 5. So this is a very good football team, and I'll stand absolutely by what I said a few minutes ago. If it's a one-score game in the fourth quarter, the team we're playing is in trouble because this team, it just miraculously, in unexplainable fashion, finds ways to win these games. And to do that, you can't be scared. And they're not scared.
Last thing I'll ask you, Paul Allen. You think Rodgers is back in that division next year?
Great question, man. A lot of weird things after that Lions game. Like, you know, your guy, whatever his name was, I can't remember, came up, wanted his jersey.
Jameson Williams, yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, nah, I'm good or whatever. That's unbelievable that he did that. And whether no matter if how badly he had to go to the bathroom or where he had to go, I've just never heard of that.
Yeah.
And just the way he's talking and everything, you know, it's I'm sure you've heard it, man. I mean, you follow it closely. But, you know, after the game, one of the beat writers was like, no trade. Could you see yourself playing for another team? Something like that. And he had an opportunity to say, no, I'm finishing my career here.
He loves the drama.
I started here. I'm finishing here. And we have work to do. I'm not sure I'll be back. But if I am back, it's going to be here. Instead, he's like, you can never say never. So that was negative. I mean, it's either negative because if you're a Packers fan, he's not going to come back. Or if you're a football fan, hopefully, you know, we ain't got to deal with the news cycle around the draft just completely involving him.
I'm with you. Hey, Paul Allen, have a good call this weekend. We appreciate the time. Thank you.
Zach, really had a good time, man. Thanks for letting me speak. God bless you, and enjoy the football game, all right?
You got it. We'll do. You as well. There is Paul Allen, the play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Vikings, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught! touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right, end zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Some folks don't stop till they find the truth. June's Journey is a roaring 20s murder mystery hidden object game. Find your first clue by downloading June's Journey today. Available on Android or iOS devices and on PC through Facebook Games.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
This NFL postseason, every Westwood One NFL broadcast streams live for free. For free. The wild card round, the division round, the AFC and NFC championship games, the Pro Bowl game, and Super Bowl 57. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app at WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. It's all sponsored by AutoZone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help troubleshoot the likely cause of your pesky check engine light for free and get you back on the road. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Hickey, quick question. Do you watch, whether it's in great frequency here or there or not watching it at all, do you watch Good Morning Football? You a Good Morning Football fan?
I'm just not up early enough for the most part. Well, that's not true. I try to go to the gym first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. So I get up and go to the gym so I'm not by a TV when it's on.
So I feel like I should watch Good Morning Football more than I do. I, though, do see a lot of clips on social media, and I think I know enough about the show, even though they've had some change in people sitting on the desk with Kay Adams no longer there, now Jamie Erdahl taking over. Jason McCourty, I think, is phenomenal, replacing Nate Burleson, who is obviously a star and is phenomenal now with all the work that he does for CBS. But I know enough that I think Jamie Erdahl is from Minnesota, so she's a big Vikings fan. And then Kyle Brandt, who I think is hysterical. And I like Peter Schrager, too. But Kyle Brandt, who I think is hysterical, has always been a big supporter of Kirk Cousins. So they've been doing a lot of highly entertaining and energetic segments, which, like, Kyle Brandt just speaking is entertainment energetic segment enough. It's not like he needs, like, any coffee or he needs to put on a show for the cameras. That guy just speaks. He's entertaining. He's exciting. So they've been doing a big-time push that Kirk Cousins is better than what people make him out to be. So they have KJ Osborne, friend of the show, on today. And they have KJ Osborne on, I believe, via Zoom. And they're making this big-time push how, oh, everyone talks about 1 o'clock Kirk Cousins and primetime Kirk Cousins and how they're so different quarterbacks. And the guy just won 13 games and he won the division. And they're about to have KJ Osborne make this big case for why Kirk Cousins is better than what people think he is. Zoom connection. The moment KJ Osborne starts speaking about Kirk Cousins, just cuts out and goes dead. And Kyle Brandt throws his hands up in the air and goes, see, the SEC is an inside job. They don't even let us say positive things about Kirk Cousins. So I thought that to be highly entertaining when I watched that clip during the break.
Or par for the course, big spot, Kirk Cousins.
Oh,
ball
don't
is
do
dropped
that.
Yet again. Oh, I had to take
don't
a cheap shot.
That.
I took a cheapie. I'm sorry, but it was there.
You would love if Kirk Cousins was your quarterback for your football team.
No, I would not.
Yes, you would.
No, I would not.
What?
No, I would not.
You just had Matt Ryan and Carson Wentz,
that's
whose
right.
career came and went. Kirk Cousins would have had them in the playoffs 2 years ago and would have had them in the playoffs again this year.
But here's the thing that you know and I know.
He ain't winning a Super Bowl.
He's not, and I still don't even trust him to win a playoff game. He may beat the Giants, yes.
Okay, but this is new douchey Hickey, where for the last few years you just tolerated good. Now you finally have come to the side that I've been telling you to get on for years of actually aspiring to be great and have a team that could actually win a Super Bowl.
That is correct, and that's also part of, well, no, I've always wanted to win a Super
Bowl.
That's absolutely the case. And I believed quarterbacks like Carson Wentz could turn their career around to be great enough, because we've seen it at one point already, tap into that greatness. It did not happen.
Years ago.
Matt Ryan, I thought maybe could go to the Fountain of Youth. Did not happen.
Stop.
Those were hope projects. I would agree. I am done with the hope projects.
Okay.
I am done with building my...
But once again, Kirk Cousins would have been better than Carson Wentz and would have been
yes,
better than Matt
but
Ryan.
In terms of where they are right now, would I be rather... Why would I rather be this year where I am right now at pick number four with a chance to get to number one, or I'd rather be in the playoffs where the Vikings are with the Colts roster? I would rather be right now where I am at number four.
Okay.
I do not want Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for your team to mess it up in the draft.
I cannot wait for Bryce Young. I'm not kidding. Now I have three Colts jerseys in my life. I will right away, boom, run to the store,
okay, but
Bryce
the
Young
thing.
Number nine.
And maybe they get Bryce Young, and you're right on that. But you're putting yourself in a bad spot because you as a fan are hyping it up as this is a lock. And I know how you get that this is a lock right now that you're going to get Bryce Young, and it isn't a lock right now that you're getting Bryce Young. And you haven't even allowed a 1% chance in your mind to go that Bryce Young isn't going to wind up on the Colts. And what you're doing in the process here, someone that has tolerated a lot of crappy quarterbacks, you were putting down a lot of other quarterbacks that could be really damn good. And the draft, it's all a crapshoot as you know it. And I'm just fearing for you that if you don't get Bryce Young, you get someone like C.J. Stroud, you're going to be so disappointed. Then you're going to say C.J. Stroud's going to suck when the guy could go on to be a very good quarterback.
I will agree with half the statement. I acknowledge that it's not a lock they're going to get him.
But that's okay. That's totally the first
agree.
Time. To be fair, that's the first time I've heard you say that, because a few weeks ago you were like, "They're getting Bryce Young. They're getting Bryce Young." I'm not even going to allow this to go. I even said to you on the air, "Is there any chance that you think they won't get Bryce Young?" You're like, "Nope, they're getting Bryce Young." That's where you're like delusional. That's when you're insufferable.
Here's where I'll admit I will not allow myself to see another quarterback in this draft in a Colts uniform. I will not. I am Bryce Young or bust. And I'm telling you, you're not wrong. I'm setting myself up for disappointment if someone
Colts
else trades ahead.
CJ Stroud, Hickey's going to say Super Bowl.
Or if somehow they decide to take another quarterback if they do get to number one. But
I hope you
for
don't
me, it's
get
one
Bryce
quarterback
Young.
And one quarterback only.
I just hope.
That's so rude. That is rude.
No, here's why. It's because I want to see how you spin zone this. Because you didn't want Carson Wentz, and they got Carson Wentz. It was like, all right, we got a great quarterback. Your crappy overrated GM, Chris Ballard, he took the money and run, and you did this stupid video that you put out there. And you had a lot of egg on your face. I just want to see after you have trashed, and I know it. I have receipts. I'm Robert Saleh. I have receipts. And you have trashed basically everyone else's offseason when it comes to the idea of them being your quarterback. And if they don't get Bryce Young, I want to see you shaking your boots. Dance
I will promise you this. If they draft someone else that's not Bryce Young, and Bryce Young's on the board especially, but nonetheless, I would not be happy.
Do me a favor. Will you spin zone it, though? Like, if they draft C.J. Stroud, what will your reaction be?
I will not be happy. Even if Bryce Young's off the board and C.J. Stroud's, I'll promise you this. I will not spin zone it because I've done that the last 2 years, admittedly, and I've gotten burned. This year, I think reality, fair or not, has hit me in the face. I will now go forward. I gave the Colts the benefit of the doubt for a while.
Yeah.
They have lost that this year. So if it's C.J. Stroud, they're not getting the benefit of the doubt. I'm not going to trash him, but I'm not going to be happy about it. Will Levis, I will not be happy about it,
okay.
And I will not hide my disdain.
Okay.
He's good, fine, but I'm not going to sit here pretending
you
he's going to be
works.
The answer.
Anyone you get that you like is going to be horrible. Anyone you get that you don't like is going to be good. That's how I honestly think it's going to happen.
Oh, Bryce Young, sorry, your career has already gone down the toilet.
Yeah. I love Bryce Young. I feel bad for him. Real quickly, just say attractive or unattractive if you're a quarterback this offseason. Commanders.
Attractive.
I agree. Jets.
Attractive.
I agree. Raiders.
Unattractive.
I'm not going to say it's the best-looking girl, but it's still an attractive enough girl here.
2 a.m. at the bar. Got to go home with someone.
Yeah.
Well, lights are flickering on.
You have Devontae Adams and Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, and a coach. Well, Josh Jacobs for now. Who knows next year if they
like,
resign
put it
him.
This way. I'm not saying the Raiders are Beyonce. It's not the creme de la creme, but are they still someone that you're like, okay, there's some upside there. If she starts to talk to me, yeah, I think there is. Dolphins, attractive or unattractive?
Attractive.
Buccaneers, if Brady goes.
Attractive.
Seattle. Oh, come on. That's attractive. Pete Carroll, you got DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and Kenneth Walker. You just,
begrudgingly,
this is once
I'll
again,
go attractive.
This is your stupid disdain for Pete Carroll.
No, it's just,
what?
Feels like a lot of things went their way this year. I just don't know if it's repeatable.
But then you tell us how attractive the Colts are.
I didn't.
Oh, come on.
Not this year.
About like week 6 or 7, you still thought it was a good football team. Rams, if Sean McVay walks and Matthew Stafford says, I'm going to retire.
I think still attractive.
Yeah, I don't think that's attractive. Lions, if they say, Jared Goff, not the guy.
Attractive.
And then finally, the Giants. I like Daboll. You assume Barkley's going to be back. If they elect, then I think Jones is going to be back. Do you view that as attractive?
Great head coach, not right now. They have no weapons. No weapons whatsoever.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Mike Westhoff, special teams legendary coach with the Dolphins, the Saints, the Jets, going to join us next. Talk a little bit about Sean Payton's future with him.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught! Touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Non-stop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team. And postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right. End zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Non-stop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team. And postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right. End zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
Some folks don't stop searching till they find the truth. If you've got a detective's eye, June's Journey is the game for you. Play as June Parker in a gripping murder mystery as you find hidden objects to help solve her sister's death. You'll hunt for clues in hundreds of beautifully illustrated scenes set in the roaring 20s. New chapters are added weekly. Find your first clue by downloading June's Journey today. Available on Android and iOS mobile devices, as well as on PC through Facebook Games.